are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yes, we had the first four of the big dance last night, but the 2021 NCAA tournament in earnest starts today. The round of 64 gets underway on this beautiful Friday. We have 16 games on Friday, including five Big Ten teams, 16 more games on Saturday, including possibly four Big Ten teams. Our round of 64 Big Ten full weekend preview starts right now on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Friday, March 19th, and on this great Friday, we have the NCAA tournament ahead of us. The round of 64 is filled. We know the bracket, and we are looking forward to the best days in all of the big dance. And joining me for this full weekend preview to preview every Big Ten team that will be playing in the round of 64 is our dearest acquaintance in the entire world. It is Michael Sevier, the host of Sevier and Benning in the morning on 1620 The Zone in Omaha, Nebraska, as I declare him the Omaha sports talk radio hosting legend, the best in my mind to ever do it. Over the airwaves in Omaha, Nebraska. Michael Sevier, pleasure to have you back on the podcast once again.
You know, based on what we were talking about before, I'm glad you said it was a great Friday and not a good Friday.
Ah, there we go. We might dive into some religion with a bonus maybe pick at the end of all the categories we have to discuss. But we nine Big Ten teams that have qualified for the big dance. We are recording in full transparency before Thursday night's play-in games, which Michigan State is a part of in the final first four game against UCLA inside Mackey Arena on Thursday night. I would say, if you listened to this podcast yesterday, the 2-for-4 for Thursday with our good friends from Locked On Spartans, Matt Sheehan and Will Hunter, we all expect, although it might be a little dicey at time, for Michigan State to prevail over UCLA and get into the round of 64, where they would match up against the number 6 seed in the East region, BYU, on Saturday. So that will be our bonus pick later on. But what we know for sure is we have eight teams playing in the round of 64, five on Friday, three, possibly four on Saturday. And Michael and I will go through each of our picks, giving you our four categories, our best Big Ten matchup of the weekend, our Locked On Lock of the weekend, our underdog special for the round of 64, and then a fourth category of our creative choosing. And this time, Michael Sevier, all of our spreads, lines, totals provided to us by our good friends at betonline.ag, because they've had these opening round lines out since the bracket was released late Sunday night. So we know everything ahead of us. No KenPom spreads needed. We have all of our spreads in tow, except for one: Michigan against the number 16 seed in the East region. Another one of those play-in games on Thursday, but we'll discuss if they play Mount St. Mary's or Texas Southern. So that is what we have ahead of us. We have four categories, eight great Big Ten teams, possibly nine great Big Ten teams and matchups to preview. Are you ready for the round of 64, Locked On Big Ten full weekend preview?
I'm already exhausted. That was a lot, man. Let's go. Yeah, let's go. Let's
verbal, do it. Just verbal garbage just coming out. Just had to get everything out, set the stage.
Locked on, best game pick of the underdog session. Let's go.
That's great insight, and that's why we trust Michael Sevier. He also a betting man who knows his stuff, folks, and that's why we let him begin with our first category for this round of 64 full weekend preview. It is the best Big Ten matchup of the weekend. Michael Sevier, what game are you highlighting in this category?
Well, actually, I like the UConn-Maryland game, and I don't know if it's the best matchup, but I love the matchup in general. As many of these games have, there's injury concerns. We've had COVID in games. We've had guys who are banged up. We've had concussions. And UConn is like that. They RJ Cole is a little banged up, a little worried. I'm hoping he plays based on the fact that I like UConn in a matchup. But one of the greatest plus-minus matchups in all of this thing, Maryland, offensive rebounds, last in all of college basketball. UConn, offensive rebounds, number one in all of college basketball. I like UConn to run away with it. I know Maryland's gotten some big wins this season. I like them. I've always liked College Park. It's one of my favorite campuses in all the Big Ten. I just like offensive rebounds. I like offensive rebounds and teams that make their free throws, and I think UConn will be that team. And James Bouknight, it's just so much fun. And, you know, you had the Kimba run years ago. This is kind of like the same feel. So I would take that as my favorite matchup.
UConn struggled early on in this college basketball season, but with the team they have right now, including James Bouknight, who might be one of the best individual players in the NCAA tournament, they're probably more of a number four or number five seed, really shouldn't be on that seven line. So my best Big Ten matchup of the weekend features the South region, the number 13 seed in the South, North Texas, taking on the number four seed, Purdue. Purdue is a 7.5-point favorite. The over-under total is 127. I have said for the last couple of weeks, I am very, very high on these Purdue Boilermakers. Sneak peek, I have Purdue advancing to my Final Four. Whoa, that's a hot take, but I like Purdue and the game they are playing right now. They have won five straight games. It seems Michael Sevier agrees with me. You think the Boilermakers have the potential to make a Final Four run?
I have Purdue in, I do three or four different brackets, and they're all very similar. They all end basically the same, but there are a couple spots in the Elite Eight where I go one direction or the other, and one of them is that. It's either Purdue going on. I have another one where it's Texas going on or Florida State. So, yeah, I have that a couple spots. I think Purdue could be in the Final Four easily. Only concern I have is that they're young, right? I mean, young teams don't always necessarily win when you get to the Elite Eight, and they're going to have to overcome some of that. But they do a lot of things that I really like. I love Purdue. I mean, they got great coaching. One of the best coaches in all of college basketball. So that's a team that if they made it to the Final Four, I wouldn't be shocked.
I have Purdue facing off against Ohio State for what would be the fourth time this year in the South Regional Final, and I have Purdue advancing to the Final Four. As we focus on this game against UNT North Texas, Purdue has won five straight games to end out the regular season, pushed Ohio State in an overtime thriller last Friday in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament, and Trevion Williams took over in that second half. He finished with 26 points, 14 rebounds, and one of those freshmen who has come on so strong, part of the all-freshman Big Ten team, Jaden Ivey, had 19 points. You throw in Zach Edey off the bench, he had 11. And I think some of the cornerstone pieces of this Purdue team outside of Trevion Williams, who is a junior and has that experience, you look at Sasha Stefanovic, you look at Eric Hunter Jr., they have a little bit more experience than some of the freshmen that fill out the rest of that supporting staff. So I do like what Purdue has heading into the NCAA tournament. Now, as I look at this matchup against North Texas, both teams played a pretty slow pace. Purdue, 274th in the country. North Texas, 350. There is only 357 teams playing Division I college basketball this year. So for North Texas to be 350th shows you they play a pretty slow pace, but they are a pretty good shooting team. 39th in the country in effective field goal percentage, around 54%. 33rd in the country in three-point shooting percentage at around 37%, rather. But Purdue, pretty good at guarding the three-point line. And one thing North Texas did not do very well is they don't get to the free throw line a lot, and they do turn the ball over a decent amount. I know that's one of the things you highlight as well, 244th in the country in turnover percentage. So I think if the Boilermakers can guard the three-point line well against the Fighting Mean Green of North Texas, and they make them play a different style of game than they would like, where they're not going to get to the free throw line a lot, maybe frustrate them defensively to force some of those turnovers, I think Purdue can win comfortably. Although I know North Texas is a pick a lot of people have as on their upset radar. Do you think there's any credence to that idea?
Well, it's because of the game, as you mentioned, the pace. I have the game made at about 130 for a total. They have 126 in Vegas. So anytime you have a game that's low, that's slow of a pace, it's going to probably come down to the last 8 minutes, last 4 minutes. And so anytime you get a game with that kind of possession, I can see it. I just think Purdue is going to be able to pull away in that second half, especially if there's foul trouble for North Texas. By the way, I'm old enough to remember when they were University of North Texas, North Texas State, and they were just the Eagles, and they weren't even the Mean Green. So all of those things have happened over the last 25 years where they've changed all their names. My brother-in-law went to school there. I joke with him. I said, man, your degree's not even good anymore. They changed their name of the school. But he still claims that he went to school there. But yeah, I think at a slow pace like that, I think that 126 is a little too low. I think over, kind of a extra pick for you there, but it's going to be a lower scoring game. That's why it could certainly be a trouble for either team late in the game.
Our full round of 64 preview as it pertains to the Big Ten teams and the Big Dance continues on with Michael Sevier, and we're giving you the best betting advice we know for this full weekend of action in the NCAA tournament. Every line, spread, total, everything comes from our friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. College basketball is at the forefront right now. The Big Dance, the NCAA tournament, madness is in full swing. So BetOnline has you covered for everything. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. It has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you put in the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Some of the spreads that I like the most, I love Rutgers in the spot against Clemson. That's why it's my Locked On lock, and I love that Michael Sevier, a very smart betting mind, agrees with me. Rutgers, a 1.5-point favorite over Clemson, the over-under total there, 126. Anything you hear us reference is coming from betonline.ag. In this time of March, it's the best way to place your bets. And again, when you sign up today, you receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you put in the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. On this full weekend preview of the round of 64 for the Big Ten teams in the Big Dance, we're covering everything you need to know about the NCAA tournament and the Big Ten in general, and you can get all the sports news you need outside of that in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts across the Locked On Podcast Network. Follow Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. We continue here with great betting advice and great game previews for all the opening round of 64 action in the NCAA tournament for the Big Ten teams involved. So we move on now to our Locked On Locks for this round of 64 weekend as it pertains to the Big Ten teams in the Big Dance. Give me your Locked On Lock, the bet you are most comfortable in with this weekend.
I will admit I'm not overly comfortable with any lock involving a Big Ten team, but I like a couple different ones. One that you kind of stole from me, I love Rutgers. I love Rutgers going against Clemson. That's one of my favorite bets. Again, like I said, I have four brackets. They're all really the same, but Rutgers is going through against Clemson and all of them. I actually like Rutgers is as a sleeper to get almost definitely to get to the Sweet 16, but even a sleeper to get to the Elite Eight, what they can do. That surprised me. It wasn't one of those things, but just going over the numbers, I like, again, I'm big on turnovers. I'm big on getting the free throw line, making your free throws, big on offensive rebounds, all those things I like about Rutgers. And so I love that game against Clemson. I think I would love the game if it was Rutgers by eight. I mean, still, I really like them to put it on Clemson a little bit. And I'm also a little down on parts of the ACC. I think the ACC was a little overrated. I believe in the Big 12 and I believe in the Big 10. But basically everybody else I think was overrated for the most part.
I agree with you. Do you have another Locked On Lock outside of the Rutgers-Clemson game that you enjoy?
So my other one would be Grand Canyon. And I know it's weird because people look at a team like Grand Canyon and they say, what, Grand Canyon against Iowa? Are you nuts? Line is 15. Grand Canyon has two big guys. And as you know, because of injuries, that inside, Luka Garza is probably going to play even more minutes. If this is a close game with the injury, with his backup being injured, he's going to be in there a little bit longer. They have 2 7-footers from two different foreign countries. They're going to give Luka some problems. I just like him keeping it within 15. I wouldn't be surprised if you're late in this game, you know, 4 minute break, and you're like, this is only a 9-point game. This is Grand Canyon. What the heck? But I like them to cover the 15.
Can you pronounce the two names of the two big men for Grand Canyon University?
No. What, big man one, big man two?
Yeah. Both seniors. There's Asborn Mittgard, the 7-footer 270 out of nowhere. I could look into Mittgard. That. And Alessandro Lever, 6'10", 235, also a senior. There has been times this year where Luka Garza has struggled against a dominant post presence from another team. You think of the game against Michigan when Hunter Dickinson matched up very well with him. You think of the battles that he's had against Kofi Coburn. That's also saying, and Minnesota I always throw this caveat. Yeah, true. Very well. Mm-hmm. Very good point. But I also throw this caveat on Luka. He can struggle and still probably put up like 18-8, and we just kind of take it for granted. So I don't think – you're not saying Grand Canyon gets the win, but they can cover that margin.
I think they cover the 15. And by the way, Mittgard, that's from four. You know that, right? That's what they call this world. They call it Mittgard in the Asgard world of Thor. Mittgard is Earth. So maybe he's from Earth. Wow. Certainly a possibility. But no, I looked at both their names and I went, I like them. They're both big, 173, 171. They're going to give them some problems. I just like it to stay close. And that's what happens a lot in these, the 116s, the 215s, you'll be like, why is this game still a game? It happens more than not. So I think that that's going to be the case this time.
You alluded to it. My Locked On Lock is that Rutgers game. I have a question for you before I dive in to some of the metrics. Why? When you see a 7-10 matchup, which seed do you consider the lower seed? This has been a topic of debate all week long.
The lower seed? Well, the lower seed would be the 10 seed.
Thank you. Boom. Good. Yeah. All right. We're on the same page.
There's a debate.
Yeah. Some people consider that being the higher seed because it's a bigger number.
No, I don't like that at all. I don't like those people.
I agree with you. I would call Rutgers the 10 seed in this matchup, the lower seed. And along those lines, Rutgers is the only lower seed in all 32 games in the round of 64 to be favored in this spot. They are the only lower seed that is a favorite heading in to the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. Rutgers and Clemson, both two top 20 defenses, and that's why you see the total as it is at 126. Rutgers, by the way, as the favorite, a 1.5-point favorite. I'm not going to sit here and say I've loved what I've seen out of the Rutgers the last 2 to 3 weeks, but there was a lot of pressure on them to end out the regular season to get to the Big Dance and to get some clinching wins for the first time in 30 years. But they do have the makeup of a team, like Michael mentioned, that can make a run in March. They are very experienced. They have Geo Baker. They have Ron Harper Jr., Miles Johnson down low. Jacob Young is incredible on what he does both ends of the floor, probably one of the best defenders in all of the Big Ten Conference. He always gets his hands on a lot of passes in there, breaking up a lot of plays. The only thing that scares me about Rutgers, they're the worst free throw shooting team.
Free throw shooting
in the NCAA
team.
Tournament.
Yeah.
That's not great. Don't love that going in.
Right.
But I do believe that Rutgers is playing a better brand of basketball even than Clemson, because like you, I think they're overvalued. I don't think they should be on the 7 seed line. I know you take into account the full body of work, and Clemson started out the year 9-1, but over the final 2 months kind of were on a slide. They lost 4 of 5 after starting 9-1. Then they started to round into form. Then they got hit with a brief COVID pause. And since coming back from the COVID pause, they're just 3-2 against like the bottom foes in the ACC. And they've only scored 70 or more points in one game out of those five since they've returned from that COVID pause. So Clemson really going the other way. I like Rutgers in this spot. And like you, I think Rutgers will upset Houston in the round of 32 in advance of the Sweet 16, because the defensive energy, if it's on point for Steve Peichel and company, can confuse Houston a little bit, I think, in that round of 32 game to let Rutgers go to the Sweet 16. So I like Rutgers in this spot to cover the 1.5 point spread.
And as you mentioned, the one concern is you very rarely see the difference in free throw shooting as big as this. Clemson is a team that averages something like 76% shooting it. You have another one that averages like 62%. This is similar to actually a team that you know a little bit about, is Creighton and UCSB. In that game on Saturday, you have a huge free throw disparity as well, but you rarely ever see one this big. But the hope is, I think we both have the same hope, that Rutgers is going to be up enough to where that's not going to matter.
Right. I think if Rutgers plays its best basketball, which starts from the defensive end, that allows their offense to play better. And a good sign for Rutgers offensively, Ron Harper Jr., who struggled a little bit towards the end of the regular season, has scored in double figures 5 straight games. And in the blowout loss to Illinois in the quarterfinals this past Friday, he still posted 21 points. So he's finding his offensive game a little bit more. He's a huge component for what they want to do, obviously. One of the best pure scorers, I think, in all the Big Ten Conference. So we have our locked on locks. We have our best Big Ten matchups of the round of 64. Now time for everybody's favorite, when we look at the bracket, the upsets, the underdog specials for this opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. Michael Sevier, you gave me Grand Canyon University to cover that margin. Is there another one that you see in terms of facing off against a Big Ten opponent?
That's really the only one I would say. My other ones would be totals. I like a lot of the totals, basically, again, off of pace. And then free throw shooting, as I mentioned, and then 3-point shooting. The other game I really like is Wisconsin and UNC. It's on, it's not a big number. You know, it's 137, but I like it under that. I think it's going to be a slow game. We know what Wisconsin does. We know how they play. I like UNC in terms of the way they play, but they turn the ball over so much. You had a team at one point that was averaging 20 turnovers a game. You lose possessions with that many times. If they're not live ball turnovers, the other team's not going back and scoring. So I see this being a real battle. Upper 50s towards the end of the game, getting into the 60s could be kind of a slog. I like that one to be under 137 for UNC and Wisconsin. I think UNC ends up winning the game because I think they just end up at the end. I think they just have a better overall athleticism, but I think it's a low scoring game.
So we will call that our under dog special of this weekend, as Michael Sevier sees it. I also think it's a tough matchup for Wisconsin against UNC. I've said that a couple times throughout this week. So my underdog special features another 15 seed, like you mentioned, Oral Roberts, taking on the number 2 seed in the South region, Ohio State. Ohio State, a 16-point favorite. The over-under total there, skyrocketing, 157. I want this on the record before I start and dive into the metrics. I think Ohio State wins and wins comfortably. I could see them winning by 10, 12, maybe even 14. I just do not believe that Ohio State covers. I have the Buckeyes advancing all the way to the Elite Eight, like I mentioned, facing off against Purdue in the South Regional Final. I just think that Oral Roberts has a player on their team that will allow them to keep pace in this game. His name is Max Asemus. He does not miss often. Also, it is weird. His last name is spelled A-B-M-A-S. Asemus, I don't know how they got that. But just so you know, his name is Max Asemus. He averages 24 points per game. He shoots nearly 43% from the three-point line. He has scored 40-plus twice this season. He has scored in the 30s 5 additional times this season. And listen, this is nothing new against Ohio State. Their defense has struggled all year. They ranked 79th in the country in defensive efficiency. In the Big Ten, opponents were able to play their pace they wanted to. They allowed the fastest pace from their opponents in Big Ten competition. And Oral Roberts plays at the 39th fastest possession length in all of the country this season. They want to score. They want to get out there. I think it is a high-scoring game, and the total reflects that because of Ohio State's lack of defense and Oral Roberts also awful on the defensive end, 285th in the country when it comes to defensive efficiency. So I think we will see some points. I just think Max Asemus is able to keep the Golden Eagles. Is that what it is? They're in the Summit League. Able to keep ORU in pace with Ohio State. I still think Ohio State wins by double digits. I just don't think they can cover that 16-point spread.
Yeah, and I think that game goes way over, too. You were talking about offensive efficiency. You have two teams who are in the top 25 in their offensive rating when you balance it out in terms of the teams they're playing. I just like that. Anytime you have that situation like that, I like it over. I know it's a high number, but this game got to, say, would you be surprised if it was 85 to 78, something like that? It could certainly be that with the way Oral Roberts scores. But I think this one goes over.
The NCAA tournament in earnest, in my mind, starts today. The round of 64 begins today, a little after noon Eastern. We are excited. We are ready to go. How do we keep our enthusiasm high, our energy high? We, of course, turn to Built Bar. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on each and every one of their bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Sure, you have your NCAA tournament bracket, but you need your Built Bar bracket as well. Today's matchup in the Sweetest 16 involves a powerhouse duo, caramel brownie and double chocolate, two of my favorite flavors. And I know I say that a lot about all the Built Bars, but that's because I love every flavor. Caramel brownie and double chocolate, in my mind, it's got to go to caramel brownie. It combines two of my favorite things in the world, caramel and brownie. Caramel? Caramel? Whatever. Whatever way you do it, caramel brownie, moving on to the enticing eight, then on to the flavorful four, all of that great stuff, all a part of the Built Bar bracket. If you want to vote yourself, go to builtbar.com or @bar_built on Twitter. And when you go to builtbar.com, remember to use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15, LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And make sure to check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. So the round of 64 begins today. For the next 2 to 3 weeks, the NCAA tournament is all that we will be talking about because it is the best time of the year. But soon after that, really the next month, a couple weeks after, we get into the NFL draft. And are you ready for the NFL draft? If not, join Locked On NFL draft hosts Trevor Sekema and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on the 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL draft podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find Locked On Big Ten in both of those places. We continue on with our round of 64 preview with Michael Sevier, one of the best, the Omaha Sports Talk radio hosting legend, giving you advice for this round of 64 for the Big Ten teams in the Big Dance.
Talking about late leads, I believe it's 5 games total that Ohio State lost leads in the last 3 minutes of the game. And my partner on the radio in the morning, his thing is they don't have a closer. And even though Washington is good, they don't have a guy who you know is going to get the ball late. And because you don't know that, you lose a lot of late leads. I like Ohio State like you do, but it's right. When you have a team that can't close, it's hard to say it going against another team who is a tournament team who probably has gotten a lot of closing done to hope that they go a long way. I like Ohio State a lot. I love their personnel, but I kind of worry about them a little bit because of the late game scenarios.
Speaking of one of those games that Ohio State had a big lead in and then allowed that team to come back, the Big Ten semifinals against their rivals, Michigan. And I'm having this as my fourth creative category of my choosing. What is life like without Isaiah Livers? Game of the week. Yeah. That would be Michigan taking on whatever 16 seed wins in the first four. It could be Mount St. Mary's. It could be Texas Southern. Before I dive into talking about Michigan a little bit, you liked Mount St. Mary's in the first four games. Why was that?
I do. I like Mount St. Mary's because I think they'll get up and down efficiently. It's a big difference to saying I'm a fast-paced team and I'm going to get a bunch of shots up. Well, that's great. What's your offensive efficiency like? Mount St. Mary's is a better offensive efficiency. I also believe in the conference they played more than I believe in Texas Southern. It's just one of those where initially when I saw the lines and I was going through it, I said, definitely I like Mount St. Mary's. Sometimes you just look at it and go, I think that's the better team, and that's how you pick it. I think that's the way you also do it when you're talking about these playing games.
Michigan will beat whoever the winner is.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
Or Texas Southern. No,
by 25. But they should. Yeah. I think they win big, yeah, whoever they play, even without Isaiah Livers.
I was going to say the line will probably be around 22, 23. The average opponent in a 1-16 game, the one generally wins by an average of around 23 points in the last 8-10 NCAA tournaments, whatever that might be. So Michigan will win this game. But what we know about Michigan right now, they will be without Isaiah Livers. He suffered a stress injury in his right foot. He is out indefinitely. Hope to have him back maybe by the second weekend. We're not really sure about the Wolverines. Michigan lost 3 of their last 5 games heading into the NCAA tournament. Not a lot of people are high on them right now. They're probably the number one seed that everybody thinks is going to lose first in this NCAA tournament. Some people don't even think Michigan's going to get out of the round of 32, depending on who they face off between LSU and St. Bonnie. I do not prescribe to that. I think Michigan is still a Sweet 16 team, possibly even an Elite 8 team, depending on who their matchup is in the round of 16. But Michigan has a couple of reasons where I think they're okay without Isaiah Livers. And yes, losing your second leading scorer is not good. I'm not going to argue for that. But the game against Ohio State, the reason they struggled was not because they missed Isaiah Livers. Franz Wagner played a terrible game. 8 points on 2 of 10 from the field, fouled out early. And I really think Michigan should have won that game had they gone down to Hunter Dickinson on that final possession. He was taking over against Ohio State. So I don't really blame Isaiah Livers' absence as the main reason Michigan lost that game to Ohio State. So I think Michigan can turn things around because they play such a strong team brand of basketball. And as you mentioned, Mount St. Mary's and Texas Southern, very interesting dynamic. Texas Southern plays at the 41st fastest tempo in the country. Mount St. Mary's second to last in college basketball, 356th. So depending on who Michigan faces off against, again, I don't think it's going to be much of a contest. The spread will probably be around 22, 23 points. And I think Michigan wins by 20 plus.
Yeah, even though you said that pace was the way it is, still a good offensive rating for Mount St. Mary's. And the thing that they do that I really like is they will definitely get the ball distributed back and forth. They're a good assist team. They're very efficient. I'm not with you on Michigan, though, advancing past. If they get LSU, I'd like it because of the way LSU doesn't play any defense and they're so isolation-based. They play against St. Bonaventure. I think the Bonnies could take them. I like St. Bonaventure to beat LSU. I think it's going to be a close game down the stretch. I think, personally, Michigan would like to see LSU more than they'd like to see St. Bonaventure.
I agree. St. Bonaventure plays a rather similar brand of basketball to Michigan, which is team first, and they have pretty much everybody in their starting lineup can contribute for the Bonnies. I think that's a worse matchup for Michigan. I think although LSU's offense is incredibly potent, top five in the country, and Trenton Watford and Cam Thomas can take over a game, because of how bad they are on the other end of the floor, I think Michigan could be able to take advantage of that in that round of 32 matchup. I think St. Bonaventure provides a more challenge, more of a challenge for Michigan. The last game we did not talk about for this weekend, other than the Michigan State game we assume might be against BYU, is Illinois and Drexel. The spread there is large. The Illini favored by 22.5 over the Drexel Dragons, the 16 seed out of the CAA. They are playing, obviously, in that 1-16 matchup in the Midwest region. Anything any Illinois fan should be concerned about as they head into that opening round of 64 matchup?
I looked for every reason to lay that big number. Again, I like free throws, both making them and defensive free throws, not allowing your team. I like the offensive rebound stuff. I just couldn't find anything to lay that big of a number. I tried. I went through every stat that I normally look at, and it looks like to me that Drexel's a team that could keep this in within three touchdowns kind of thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I think the best bet probably overall would be first half Illinois. You find a first half line. Normally the first half line is about half whatever the line is, so probably maybe around 12 or 11.5, and think that Illinois is going to get out early, get the big lead, and then late in the game when they've got guys sitting down and Drexel's making, you know, making some baskets, maybe you end up losing the cover. But that's probably the best bet I can figure out from it, because I went through all the numbers. I just don't – even the total at 143, I don't see a good number on that either. It doesn't stand out to me. Drexel's, again, one of the slowest-paced teams in all of basketball as well, but they do shoot okay from three-point range, and their field goal percentage is pretty good, almost 48%. That's a hard one to pick. I think the first half line, if I'm going to bet one thing with that game, it'd be Illinois minus whatever the number is in the first half.
Michael Sofia, we started off our conversation before we started recording, speaking about the fact that BYU, coming from a Mormon institution, they are not allowed to play on Sundays. This game is scheduled to tip at 9:40 p.m. Eastern on Saturday night. If there was a delay in the game prior, BYU and Michigan State have to wait until like 10 o'clock. What if the clock strikes midnight? Can BYU even be on the floor still?
Now, I was raised Catholic, okay? And so because being raised Catholic, we have a lot of rules. Leviticus is filled with them. You go through the Bible, you find a bunch of different things. But what I understand about both the Mormon faith, also the Jewish faith, and from the Catholic faith is that everything is sun up to sundown. So I would assume that their Sunday does not begin until the sun rises on Sunday. So more like 6:30, 7 o'clock is what it'd be a concern. If the game goes that long, then we all got some sort of issues. But I don't believe midnight would be a cutoff point for the start of the day. We think of the start of the day being midnight, but in religion, in general, it's usually sun up to sunset.
Fair enough.
And I love Michigan State against UCLA.
And I actually think They don't match up all that well with BYU. I was about to say they match up well because I think BYU is really strong offensively, 21st in the country in effective field goal percentage. They shoot the three super well. Caleb Lohner is one of the best three-point shooters maybe in all this NCAA tournament. But something about Michigan State and having Aaron Henry in that game, I think that would be a tough matchup for BYU to defend against. And if Rocket Watts is going to play well, that guard matchup also might be confusing. They would get Matt Harms, who they know from his days playing for Purdue. I actually would like Michigan State in the matchup against BYU on Saturday night to advance the round of 32. If, again, they beat UCLA in the first four matchup, but both Michael Sevier and I believe that will be the case. By the time you listen to this podcast, you will know.
Yeah, you know, we talked to a lot of bracket people when you do radio, and BYU was one of the biggest surprises. No one thought they should be a six. No one believed that. They all thought they should be a seven, an eight, something like that because of the schedule they played and the way they played. So they're overrated, in my opinion. Michigan State is just a better team. As you mentioned, Aaron Henry's playing very well. Rocket Watts always, ever since I found out his real first name wasn't Rocket, I'm off the board with him. Drove me crazy. I'm like, Mama named him Rocket. I'm going to call him Rocket. His name's not even Rocket. But I look at that game, and I'm with you. I think Michigan State beats UCLA, goes on and beats BYU as well.
I think we'll Rocket Watts, although that is his nickname, his real name is Mark. We don't need to talk about that. That Mark, actually sucks. But it's horrible. I think he needs to change his name now to Rocket Mortgage Watts, right? Because it's Michigan State basketball.
Not yet.
By Rocket Mortgage.
He can't do it yet, though.
Right.
Yeah, after he's done with college. Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, very true. Hey, by the way, shout out to Rutgers players and Iowa players, Geo Baker Jr., Jordan Bohannon, saying not NCAA property in the fight for name, image, and likeness rights.
That's
good for them. Take a stand. Awesome. Absolutely love it. In this NCAA tournament bubble-like environment when they're making a huge profit for the NCAA after a year we didn't have an NCAA tournament, just pay the players. It's a very simple thing. Michael Sevier, giving you all the knowledge you need for this round of 64 opening weekend here, our full weekend preview on Locked On Big Ten. Religion advice, gambling advice, free throw advice, whatever you need in this month of March. Michael Sevier is your guy. Michael Sevier, I say thank you very much. You're a great dear acquaintance. Yes.
And I say to you, go Orange.
Oh, let's go. We ended with that.
Go Orange, yes.
So I know that was a little bit on the lengthy side, and I do apologize. I try to keep these podcasts as trim and as proper as we can, but there was so much great information for this opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. The excitement was starting to boil over, and Michael Sevier and I just had to talk to give you picks, winners, everything you need to know information-wise for this first opening round, the round of 64 for the Big Ten teams in the Big Dance. Check back on Monday, because the next time we talk, it will be a recap of everything that happened over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, the early round of 32 action, and then also a preview of Monday's round of 32 action for the Big Ten teams playing still in the NCAA tournament. The time is March. You know the month is exciting times. On Monday's episode, joining me to do all of it will be Jay Stevens, the host of Locked On Buckeyes, on another Stevens & Stevens podcast here on the Locked On Big Ten show. So until we talk on Monday, enjoy the round of 64. Sit back on your couch. Stream as many games as you can and enjoy the NCAA tournament. So until we speak on Monday, have a splendid weekend.